Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let all of us exalt his name together. We are so excited to be here today. We want to welcome you to our live broadcast, the Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Evansville, Indiana. Right here at 867 East Walnut Street. Our pastor is Reverend Larry A. Rasko, Sr. Hey, we are the church who believes in connecting people to Christ, church, to their calling, and even to our community. And we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the opportunity to worship our God. I'm excited about giving God praise for all the many wonderful things he has done. I wonder if there's anybody else today that feel like praising him. Is there anybody else that know you owe God a praise because he's been better than good? He's been real good, and we owe him the best praise we've got. And so today we come to praise him and to worship him in the spirit of holiness. We just come to give God our all, give him our best praise because he deserves that and even more. And so we want to say welcome. We encourage you to participate in the worship right where you are, even in your homes, wherever you may be. We encourage you to join in as we worship the Lord. And the beauty of it is we don't have to be here in the sanctuary to worship our God. We can worship him anywhere, anytime. And he deserves it. I can't think of anybody else who deserves my worship other than him. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He's a strong God. He's an awesome God. There's nobody like him. He's the God above all the other gods. And he's the God that all the lowercase g gods got to bow down to. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all in all. He's El Shaddai. He's Adonai. He is the greatest of all. And he's chosen to have a relationship with us. And so that's why I worship him today. And I love him because he first loved me. You all, we are so excited this morning to have leading worship for us. Brookelle Bailey is here this morning. We're so excited. I remember Brookelle was a little girl coming to church here, sitting right over here, Brother Dwight, and here she is now grown. And guess what, y'all? She just recently got engaged, like yesterday, day before. Yeah, and so... So we are excited. The Lord has really blessed her and has been using her all over the place, leading worship and leading his people into his presence. And so we are excited that she's here to worship with us today. Can you all help me welcome Brookelle Bailey as she leads us in worship this morning?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. The Spirit of the Lord is truly in this place. I'm honored to be here. I'm so excited. And just wherever you are, I know that the Lord is there. Like Brother James was saying, you don't have to be in the sanctuary to praise the Lord. Amen. You can make your home a sanctuary. So how many know that we serve an awesome God? Hallelujah. The awesome God. And he reigns forever and ever. Hallelujah. Come on and just worship with us.
Oh,
Come on and magnify his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just came to lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. We lift your name up high, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And this song just says, let all the other names fade away until there's only you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hands up, hearts open, wide as the sky. We lift you high. We lift you high. Hands up, hearts open, wide as we cry. Lord, we lift your name high. Hear me say, hearts open,
wide as the sky.
Lord, we lift your name.
We lift you high.
We lift you high.
We lift you high.
Hands up.
Hands up.
Hearts open.
Wide as we cry.
Lord, we lift your name.
Lord, we lift your name high.
Oh, let all the other names fade away. Come on and just worship him right there. Let all the other names fade away till there's only you. Let all the other names fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Let all the other names.
Let all the other names fade away.
Let all the other names.
Let all the other names fade away. Church family, our scripture today is found from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I shall be reading verses 5 through 7. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, Lord have mercy, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this once born again to feel your children are calling upon thy name. We ask that you step into the room. We ask that you stir up your gift. Heavenly Father, thank you for the songs of Zion that has stirred up your spirit up in here today. Now, Heavenly Father, we look outside, the sun is shining. We thank you for that, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the food that you put on our table. Now, Heavenly Father, I know that we're going to have an election on Wednesday, on the 4th. I ask that thy will be done. Please calm the fear in your people across this nation and across this world. Let your spirit lead, rule, and guide so that when things happen, they say, it wasn't nothing but you, Heavenly Father. Then let us say, what must I do to be saved? Then let us step right alongside and tell you, this is what God has done for us now, Heavenly Father. You have done so much for us. We ask that you bless the messengers, Pastor Rasko, the word, anoint his word that he's going to give us today, and all your ministers across the nation to give hope, guidance, and leadership, Heavenly Father. Let thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Amen. Anybody thankful for the name Jesus? The Bible says that there's no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved other than the name of Jesus. Again, we thank the Lord, thank God, just for this opportunity to worship. Can we just take a moment and just worship that name, Jesus? Anybody ever had to call that name, Jesus? Come on, just think about it. Think about it. Yeah, he's worthy of our worship. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. There's no name like your name, Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need, you can find it in his name. His name is so powerful that the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Your name is great. Your name is powerful. There's something about your name. Yeah. Something about your name. And every time I call your name, something happens when I call your name. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
is who you are. Oh, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in my darkness, my
you Okay, let the family say amen. Why don't y'all put your hands together? Let's thank God for our psalmist today. Amen. Amen. We bless the Lord for Brookelle, and God is using her in a mighty way. And thank God for her gifts, and thank you for sharing with us today. I'm telling you, when that play you did with that boy beat you up, I'm still looking for him. I'm still looking for him. I tell you, you played that real too well. So some of us, we were really angry when we saw somebody laying hands on our Brookelle. There's a word from the Lord today. Dwight, thank you for sharing that text with us from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the 5th through the 8th through the 7th verse. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in knowledge, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Amen. Amen. Ken Allpart was 32 years old back in the 90s, in the late 90s. Ken Allpart was a futures trader in Chicago, Illinois. He was someone who had been privileged and had had a lot of experiences in his life. A friend of his said, we ought to do something. We ought to create a rowing team at one of the high schools. And so Ken Allpart went to Manly High School on the west side of Chicago. And now recently, the actor, rapper by the name of Common, with the help of Grant Hill, Dwayne Wade, and the Ninth Wonder, were executive producers. They produced this movie. It's now been released. It's a documentary movie. And it's called A Beautiful Thing, where Ken Allpart, who was truly from the other side of town, from a different experience, went to the west side. He took a boat. He took one of those rowboats and set it up in the gym, set it up even, I think, in the cafeteria. And people walked by wondering, what in the world was this? And then he put up a sign-up sheet saying, whoever wants to be on the row team, all you have to do is sign your name. Manly High School on the west side of Chicago don't know nothing about rowing. They know a little something about football, but they know a whole lot about basketball. And people begin to laugh because they said, ain't no way, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work for several reasons. One, it's not gonna work because it's on the west side. Ain't nothing good happening on the west side. On the west side of Chicago, you ain't got nothing but black folk, poor folk, and it's gang infested. So much infested that some of the kids, as they walked to school, every block there was a different gang. Every block you had to worry about if your hat was the right way or if you were wearing the right colors. For 4 to 5 blocks, you had to be concerned about being jumped on your way to school. They said it ain't gonna work because it's on the west side of Chicago. It ain't gonna work because that's a real small boat. It's a small boat, and it's a boat that's gotta be in the water, and you trying to put some black folk in a small boat in a water, and everybody know that black folk and water don't really go together. Most black folk don't even swim, because black folk and water and black women and water sure don't go together. There's another reason it's not going to work. It's not going to work because a rowing team It takes commitment. And these are people that are from different blocks, different gangs, and there's no way you're going to get these boys to come together because it takes commitment. Not only does it take commitment, but rowing isn't easy. It's a strenuous exercise. You're trying to tell me that you're going to get a few folk to come together that don't even like each other to get in a small boat and do something strenuous in unison with somebody hollering at them. Because in this boat, in order to do it, you'll see there's a person in the back that's doing a whole lot of hollering, sometimes cussing, to motivate and keep these individuals inspired. They said it won't work, but it exceeded their expectations, They did make it through training. Junior, they made it in the boat, but on their first race, they hit the wall. They hit the wall bad. And there is a man named Pookie who was the coxswain. And Pookie said, what I remember about that first race, that hitting that wall, it was painful and it was embarrassing. And when they went back to the locker room, one of the leaders, Arche, who wrote a book, Sugar Water, he was sitting there with his head down, and a black gentleman who worked for the Parks Department came and put his hands on his shoulder and said, you didn't think it was going to be easy. And he told the young man, I know y'all hit the wall this time, but you can't stop now. There are people depending on you. There are children watching on you, watching you. You've got to keep going, because what you're doing, it's a good thing. And they stayed with it. They stayed with it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, as common, narrated the movie, A Beautiful Thing. Paul is narrating 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, who's at the church on the coast in the south, about the Macedonian churches, small churches in the north. And Paul is talking to the big church about the small church, about unifying together to help the mother church in the east. I'll say it again. Paul is narrating, he's talking to the Corinthians, and he's trying to inspire them about what the little church did. The little church exceeded everybody's expectations. And sometimes it takes the experience and the determination and the conduct of a small group to inspire the big group. I'll say it again if you don't mind. He's talking to the big church about the little church and ask them to come together in order to be a blessing to the mother church in Jerusalem. He's saying to them in these verses, these folk exceeded, hey, the Macedonians up north exceeded our expectations. Shalante, the question then is, how did they exceed the expectations? Because y'all done spent 2 weeks. Y'all know about the fact that they had some severe trials. Daphne June, they had some bad weather. Esther, things were tough. They were down to their last dime. They were broke, but they were rich with overflowing joy. And yet, everybody didn't even expect them to do anything. But Madison, the text says, Paul narrates and said, they exceeded our expectations. The question that I've got to answer in this sermon today is, how did they do it? Y'all, I've been waiting 3 weeks to get to this verse. I'm going to tell you how they exceeded expectations. I'm going to tell you how you can exceed expectations. The text says, I want to tell you this, they had an orderly offering. They had an orderly offering. They gave the biggest offering they've ever given in their life. Look at the text. The text says, here's how they did it. they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Have I got a witness here? Somebody, I want to tell you, if you want to exceed expectations in your life, the first thing you ought to do is give yourself to the Lord. It's a good offering. It's a big offering. If you start with the big offering, small offerings won't matter. I'll say it again. If you start with the big offering, the reason why some of y'all can't give small offerings, you never gave the big offering. If you start with the big offering, then the little offerings, they won't matter. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. See, the problem with some folk, and you need to know that I know that God knows, you can give him a few minutes, but he don't want a few minutes. He wants you. You can come and drop him a few dollars here and there, but he don't want the dollars. What he wants is you. You can even praise him, but what he really wants is you. Because praise without giving yourself is noise. A dollar without giving yourself it makes God nauseous. Coming to God like you really his when you know you just serving him on the down low, that makes God sick. He wants all of you. Did I say he wants all? He wants all of you. Here's how they did it. They gave a real big offering because he wants your mind. John, he wants your mind because he wants to show you and teach you how to think like he thinks. Trudy, he wants your emotion because he wants you to be able to feel like he feels. He wants your energy, Smallwood, because he wants whatever you do, he wants you to do it with energy and enthusiasm. And he wants, Dwight, he wants your will. He wants all of it. Let me tell you how I define will. Shay, will is you want to. Let me say it again. He wants you want to. He wants you want to, because every now and then, God will drop a thought on your mind from the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he wants you to want to, not have to. He wants you to want to, not got to. He wants you to want to, and everything is better for you when you want to. Houghton, the singer, what's his first name? Isaiah? Israel Houghton tells the story of being invited to the floor seats to an NBA basketball game because he's got that kind of hookup. And he was going to be on the floor, and Israel loves basketball. Israel said, he told the guy, he said, man, while shaking his head in disappointment, he said, I can't go to the ball game. I really want to go to the ball game, but I can't go to the ball game with you because I got to lead praise and worship. And the Holy Ghost, he said, pricked his heart. And all the way as he was driving to church, going over in his mind the songs he was going to sing, and he's got to thinking about the goodness of God, how great it is to worship God, and the privilege it is to stand before God's people and share the word and lead them into worship. Israel said he felt convicted. He said, I told him I got to. But what I should have said was, I get to stand before God's people. I get to sing God's praises. I get to help people come into the presence of the Lord. I get to help people sing and give God the glory that he deserves. I get to teach people the understanding that when praises go up, how blessings will come down. He said, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said, I got to. I should have said, I get to. Somebody looking at me right now, since the Lord woke you up this morning, since the Lord watched over you all night long, since the Lord kept germs away from you, look here, up in here, in your house, you get to clap your hands, you get to lift your voice, you get to holler, because he's worthy. I praise the Lord today, because I get to tell him, thank you for my children, thank you for my grandbabies, thank you for those on the way, thank you for your mercy, thank you for your long suffering, thank you that you made a way, thank you for the doors that you opened, thank you for the doors that you closed, thank you that you keep on, you keep on keeping, you keep on keeping. I can't go to church, but I get to worship with my family on the screen. They made a real good offering. Let me tell you the second thing. If you want to exceed, you got to learn how to tie up loose ends. You got to learn how to tie up loose ends. Because a whole lot of y'all talk about finishing something that you ain't really finished. I talk to my team every now and then, and I remind them, it ain't finished until it's finished. Anybody who says, we got everything done, and all we gotta do is, that ain't finished. We did all of this, and it's done, except for, that ain't finished. It ain't finished till it's finished. And Paul said, y'all said you were gonna do it over a year ago. Now finish it. You were talking about giving and all that you wanted to do. Now finish it. I ain't got to stay here long. Jesus taught us a real good lesson. He was on the cross. People said, if you are the Son of God, come down. If you are who you say you are, save yourself and us. And Jesus didn't pay him no attention because he knew what he had to finish. Somebody said, when you come to your kingdom, remember, let me do it like this, will you hook a brother up? I know you got a kingdom, and I know you don't deserve what you're going through, and I don't understand it, but I know you God. And when you get to your kingdom, will you hook a brother up? Jesus said, I don't have to wait till I get to my kingdom. I can say the word right now. Listen to his testimony. Today, you, hey, shall be with me in paradise. He hooked him up before he died. I don't want to preach that, but ain't it good to know God will hook you up before you die? Because if you don't get hooked up before you die, ain't no hookup after you die. I'm glad. Hey, Madison, he hooked me up. I've been hooked up. And then one more thing, the last thing Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. Not almost. It is finished. Father, I healed who you told me to heal. I fed who you told me to feed. I taught the children how to love, and I kept those you gave to me. It is finished. There's a big difference between I am finished and it is finished, because Jesus knows that there's more to come. There's several things that got to go on, but Jesus went on and he finished what God told him to do. Then he said, and you'll know that everything's all right, because when I get home, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost.
And aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost, he didn't come half the way. He came all the way. And every time somebody opens their heart and trusts Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost moves in, seals them, secures them, teaches them, convicts them, guides them, strengthens them, because he finishes what he starts. Now Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, advocating for you and me. Paul said, promise is one thing, performance is something else. If you're going to excel, you've got to learn how to wrap up some loose ends. Hey, Ed, you remember the other week we had a meeting, and we had so many loose ends that I had to apologize to the team. I called them in, and I said, fellas, I want to tell you I'm sorry. We got 6-7 things going on around here, and it's all my fault. We gonna call a timeout, and we ain't starting nothing else until we finish what we done started. Who am I talking to up in here? And you'd be amazed at how far you'll get when you just finish. Quit starting stuff. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my tone right. But quit starting stuff. Help me, Holy Ghost. I don't really want to fuss at nobody, but the problem with so many people is they need to quit starting stuff. Just finish some stuff you done already started, and you'll discover that you will have exceeded expectations. How'd they do it? Paul said they gave a big offering. Secondly, they knew how to tie up loose ends. And the third thing, and he says this to the Corinthians, he said, y'all need to protect the brand. Protect your brand. Protect your brand. Businesses spend a whole lot of time trying to perfect and establish a brand. They try to do something in such an excellent way that when people see their logo, the message is automatic. They operate with excellence. I never shall forget, it's been, gosh, probably 10, 12 years ago when our beloved son, how God opened a door through numerous vessels to allow our beloved son, Derek, to come from Liberia to the United States. And we were working real hard trying to make it happen. And the easiest way for him to get here was to fly from New York, from Liberia to the car to New York, and from New York to Indianapolis. And I told my brother I couldn't get there at the time that the flight was starting, but I said, I don't want you to land without landing in the hands of somebody. This is your first time. And so my brother, Dr. Roscoe, he went to the airport and found him. And I said, I know where we'll meet. Let's meet at the Steak and Shake on Washington Avenue. That's the deal. You get him at the airport, bring him to the Steak and Shake on Washington Avenue, and you'll get him something to eat. And by the time y'all are into your meal, I'll be there, and we'll take him on home. I was at that particular Steak and Shake, and as we were ordering the meals, I saw some individuals doing some stuff. And I said to my friends, I said, they messing with the brand. Steak and Shake is known for the fact that they ain't supposed to cook the burger until you order it. But when I looked, and it was the manager doing it, he had a whole line of burgers that was on the side just kind of sitting there. And I said to myself, that ain't why we paying extra. We don't mind waiting. We know what Steak and Shake stands for. We understand that when we come here, you're not even going to reach in the cooler and grab the steak until we order it. We know we got to wait, but we don't mind waiting because that's what you that's what's required for the excellence. And then lo and behold, wasn't too long, the one here in Evansville, they were doing the same thing. East Side, they were doing the same thing. West Side, they were doing the same thing. And now when you go on the west side, you don't even see the building anymore. When you go on the east side, the building's closed. They've closed up shop because there were some people that would not protect the brand. They started doing it their own way. They started cutting corners instead of cleaning corners. They started doing shortcuts, and lo and behold, now somebody else is taking their place. I'm trying to help you up in here. Paul said, hey, y'all, you excelled in everything else. You got an A in everything else. Paul said, you excelled when it came to knowledge. You excelled when it came to faith. You excelled when it came to speech. You excelled when it came to diligence. What did your report card look like to have an A in faith, A in speech, A in knowledge, A in diligence, and then a D minus in grace? You need to, come on, since you already know what excellence looked like, since you're already excellent in other areas, you might as well excel in this as well. I would hate to show your report and find out that you've got A's in everything else, but you're failing when it comes to a simple act of grace. And that small offering, that small act of grace can make a difference. Junior, I'm trying to tell you, a small act of grace can make a difference. Ken Allpark, he was a 32-year-old white guy coming into the west side, and the fella says, you know, he's bold, rolling up in here. He could have got shot, he could have got jumped, but he came anyway. And he started that team, and then after that season, he bowed his head, he looked at the camera, and he said, Daphne, he said, we failed. He said, I failed. Nobody went to college. Nobody got a scholarship. We didn't win nothing financially. It was a disaster. He said, we failed. But then the scene changes because 20 years later, them same boys, first of all, we got to celebrate the fact they came together at the barbershop. They were at the barbershop of one of the guys who was on the team as a teenager. 20 years later, they came to the barbershop and they got to talking about what a difference Rowan made in their life. They got to talking about how they started off, they didn't like each other and they didn't know each other. They talked about the fact we were from the west side. They talked about some of the heartaches and trials that their families had been through. They said, but when we learned how to get together, when we came together and sat in that little boat, and when we came together, we were scared, but we learned how to work together. And one of the things that they said we discovered, it was amazing what happened when we sat on that water. When we sat on that water in Lincoln Park on the by Lakeshore Drive, and when we came from the west side and were sitting on the water, when we looked up from the water, we got a different view of the city. They said the whole city looked different. We saw the skyline of the city. We didn't hear sirens. We didn't see police. We didn't see or hear bullets. Nobody was dying on the water. They said, this is a beautiful thing. It was an act of grace. But because one person made an act of grace, it changed some other lives. Now, 20 years later, Ken changes his story. He said, I thought I failed because they hit the wall. I thought I failed because nobody went to college. I thought I failed because it was a financial disaster. I thought I failed, but what I discovered, them boys was when they were given a different perspective. When they were given a different horizon, they started rowing their boats. And you hear them saying things that normally young black boys don't say. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can be a father. And they taught their children how to row. I think I can go to work. And they started businesses. I think I can reach down and help somebody else. And they started picking up people one by one by one, giving people another chance. They said, I think I can. And they rode their way into a new future, rode their way into a new horizon. I praise God that when you give a small act of grace, you don't know what a blessing that's going to be. It changed their life. It changed their children's life. They started talking about God. They started testifying. They said, everybody that was in that boat, their lives are different. It changed their mama. It changed their brothers and sisters. It changed their direction. All because an act of grace. Have I got a witness here? I want to tell you, if you just give yourself first, then little offerings don't matter. But when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, don't worry about it. Grace, it's a beautiful thing. A grace gift is a beautiful thing. You don't know how it's going to bless. You don't know how it's going to deliver. You don't know who it's going to rescue. But I thank God I may not have a whole lot, but what I have, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Take what I've got. Take all of me. Help me do what I can, that somebody might be blessed. Have I got a witness? They were still alive. They're still celebrating. You're still alive, and you're still celebrating. Because of Jesus, you're still alive, and you're still celebrating. So give him glory. Give him praise. Because the God we serve touched somebody a long time ago to give an act of grace that has allowed us to come together and still worship, still grow, still bless, still save, all because somebody extended an act of grace. It's a beautiful thing. It changes directions. It changes perspectives. It gives people a new horizon. And my prayer is that you will know what a privilege it is to be a child of God, and what a privilege it is. You get to tell your story. You get to tell what the Lord has done for you. Can't nobody tell your story like you but you. But when you tell your story, others will discover that if he did it for you, maybe he can do it. He can do it for me. I tell you what, the Bible says, he that hears my words and believe on him who sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Today I offer Christ to you, my brother, my sister. Simple prayer. God, I admit that I'm a sinner. Without you, I'm lost. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and God raised him from the dead. And I open my heart to you right now. Right now. Come in, make me your child. And help me to walk in the way that's pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. Get on our Facebook page and let us know that you connected to the family. We want to hear from you. We want to pray for and we want to pray with you. We pray that you'll do that. We'll get the message. We'll hear from you and we'll reach out and make contact. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's thank God for the word. As you can see, today is First Sunday, and we want to thank God. We want to thank God that we're able to remember. Pray that you've gotten your juice, and pray that you've gotten your cracker, and pray that you'll join with me as we remember the Lord through our communion celebration. Christ, He gave His body as a sacrifice. This bread that we take, it represents His body that was given for us. This blood that we drink, this juice that we drink, it represents, thank you, represents his blood that was shed. Gracious God, would you bless these emblems? Would you bless your people right where they are? Help them to appreciate and celebrate the privilege they get to remember you in a personal way. Let's share together. Amen. Amen. Hey, family, it's time for the offering. We praise the Lord for you and pray that you'll have two offerings today. First, give yourself, amen, and then pray that you'll continue to be faithful through your giving. Again, we thank God for the opportunities of PayPal and Givelify, and so many of you have come through and dropped your offering off. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. As you can see, we're trying, we're learning, and we're growing in the Lord's grace. We're learning how to stream, and we're trying to take this technology to a high level, and we're reaching out to people who are doing it well, and we're striving to do our best to do everything at a high level of excellence. And we're grateful to God that He's blessed us. God's got a big old family, and we're not limited. We're not limited to Junior or myself or our own team. We've got other family members. And again, let's appreciate Raquel, and who's our guest psalmist today. Raquel, I'm gonna tell you right now, you done worked yourself into another job. We need you to come back now. We need our people to see your people and get you on the schedule. You blessed us today, and we thank God for each and every one of you. Hey, please be mindful, be prayerful. Please remember the Haskins family in prayer. You keep them lifted up. Continue to pray for Brother John Bush, and there are others. I dare not. I know that if I try to call them all, but we love you, and we love God, and we thank you for connecting. We're going to sign off and just want to tell you, hey, to God be the glory. It's a beautiful thing when you come together following the unction of the Holy Spirit, being prompted by God to take what little you have to share with others. God will blow it up. And the things that you thought was a failure, it'll be the ultimate success, because God can make it bless generations to come. We'll close with this prayer. God, we say thank you for another day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the word. Thank you for encouragement through the songs. We pray your favor upon the entire team. Thank you for people that are serving and sacrificing to make this worship experience available, not just to our family, but people all over the country. We thank God for you. Only you. You've allowed us to prosper in the midst of the pandemic, and we're trusting you to continue to guide. May your faith, may your favor and your grace be upon your people. Make us the vessels that can bring others to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We love you. Thank God for you. God bless you. We'll be right back.